when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this fruit in our lives: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
So you see the two lists there. You see the two lists presented in that. List A, verses 19 through 21, is listing the results of following your sinful nature. And then list B, starting at verse 22, is listing the things that we call the fruit of the Spirit. For you guys heard those verses before? That's not new, right? For me, I read those things all my life, and most of my life, I saw those lists kind of like those signs they have at Six Flags that say you must be at least this tall to get on this. You know what signs I'm talking about? When my oldest grandson, Graydon, was 5 years old, they took him to Disney World, and they planned for months. How are we going to pay for this? Where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What about sunscreen? They thought of everything, and then they got there and found out that Graydon was about this much too short to ride any of the rides that he went to. I mean, you know, safety first for parents, right? So they did what any good parent would do. And they rolled up a bunch of, like, paper towels and stuff and put them under his feet so he could be tall enough to ride those rides. But that's what I thought these lists were about. I thought this was like qualifiers. You know, like these are, if you want to get into heaven, you better measure up, right? If you have too much of list A, too much immorality, too much anger or drunkenness, then you won't get in. Or if you don't have enough of list B, if you don't have enough good fruit in your life, the love and joy and goodness and faithfulness and all that, then you're not going to get in. And I really read that way most of my life. But now I don't think that's why Paul wrote this. God's revealed to me in the last several years, it's really important to ask the question, why did God include this in the Bible? Like, what's the purpose of this passage? And I don't think the purpose of this list of the fruit of the Spirit is to be qualifiers or criteria or prerequisites to get into the kingdom of heaven. So if you're okay with it, I'm going to tell you at least one thing that I think it is in there for. And I'm going to use two different illustrations. One is mine, which is utterly brilliant. And then the second one is from Jesus. And it's, you know, pretty good too. Okay, so here's mine. I am a great candidate for a heart attack. My body doesn't make enough good cholesterol. And my dad died of heart disease when he was younger than I am right now. And he had a whole bunch of brothers, and pretty much all of them died of heart disease really young. So I'm not scared, but I go for a check-in with a cardiologist every year. And he checks out all the metrics, right? All the measurable indicators. My heart rate, my blood pressure, weight, although I'm not sure why that's his business. And I don't know if we can just agree on something right now. Can we just agree that the scales in the doctor's office are crazy high, right? That's not, you know, Proverbs 18:6, listen, share this with your doctor. Proverbs 18:6 says, God hates dishonest scales. So some of these doctors need to come to Jesus, I think. But anyway, so he's checking the metrics, right? It's good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, triglycerides, you know. And so in fact, it's so important that we've added more metrics. Now, the last couple times we've taken EKG, you know what that is? Those electrodes and all that stuff, so we can check my T waves and my P wave amplitude. My QT intervals, which I think is how often I get gas at QT. But we take all of these intervals and all these measurements, and they put these stickers and electrodes all over me, which is fine, except for I have the body hair of like a brown bear. And so every time I leave there, I have 12 perfectly round bald spots all over me. So anyway, so you know what a check-in is, or a check-up with a doctor is, but you know what it's not? This is not me trying to earn the doctor's approval, right? This is not me dazzling him with my triglyceride count so that he can decide if I live or die, right? He's not with his finger on the button, oh, sorry, Larry, you know, your blood pressure is a little high, so I'm going to have to sentence you to death. He doesn't have that. I'm not trying to win him over with my amazing metrics. I'm not trying to impress him. We just both want to know how my heart's doing. And you know why? Because we both want the same thing. We both want the same thing. I want to live a long, happy, healthy, productive, purposeful, God-honoring life. And he wants me to stay alive as long as possible so I can keep paying him. Yeah? So different reasons, but we want the same thing. We're working together, right, to make my heart as healthy as possible. So every year we look at the metrics. If the metrics are good, if the blood pressure is in line, if the heart rate is low, if the good cholesterol is high and the bad cholesterol is low, and if my P waves and T waves are wavy, then that if we're on track, then that's great. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just high five for the doctor and, you know, see you next year and that's it. But if the blood pressure is not in line, or if the heart rate is elevated, or if the good cholesterol is low, or the bad cholesterol is high, if my P waves are wonky or something, then the doctor's, he's not going to get mad at me. He's not going to kill me. It's just a sign that we need to tweak some stuff, right? We want the same thing. So we work together. We change my medication, or we change my diet, or my exercise, or my stress. So we check in and we do these tests to keep track of my progress and my health, and how my life is going. Am I living the highest, best, healthiest, longest life possible? Or do we need to do something, do we need to tweak something so that I can live my healthiest life and keep paying him? So this list that Rob just read, the fruit of the Spirit, this is the illustration. It's kind of like my cardiological metrics. It's kind of like a checkup. It's like a check-in, just to see how we're doing. And is my heart right where it needs to be with God? But what this is not is me trying to impress God so he won't be mad at me. Like if I don't keep my list A down and my list B up, he's going to sentence me to death. Sorry, Larry, you know, you're too high on anger, so I sentence you to eternal death. That's not what this is. It's not a list of what you have to do or stop doing to be saved or to get into heaven or so you can impress God with how good you are or how religious you are. The truth is, Paul's writing this letter to the Galatians, and he's telling them that they're too religious. He's telling them that they're too legalistic, and they're too stuck on this idea that their behaviors and their rule keeping is a way to impress God, or a way to elevate themselves above other people, or a way to make sure God's, you know, not mad at you, or he's going to send you to hell. Can I tell you something that I think they had trouble believing? Yeah? God loves you now, right where you're at. God loves you now as you are. God loves you now, regardless of where you are on your metrics. He loves you right now, and if you're a believer, you don't need to dazzle him with your perfect behavior or your metrics from those lists to stay out of hell. God's not looking for a way to kick you out of the family. He went to a lot of trouble to get you into the family. And now the way he sees you is just like that family. He sees you as his beloved son. And you and God want the same thing. You want for your heart and your soul and for you to become like Jesus. You both want for you to have this amazing, purposeful, passionate, eternal life that's full of all that stuff, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, all the fruit. And he wants you to have that starting now. So this isn't a list of do's and don'ts to, you know, live or die or get into heaven or stay out of hell. It's more like a checkup just to see how it's going in this process of you becoming like Jesus, who had a perfect heart, who was full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the fruit. So we just look at these lists. And if my list A is low and my list B is super high, then great. High five God. And, you know, that's it. I just worship him and thank him for that and move on. And if my love or my joy or my self-control numbers are low, or if my lust or anger or selfishness is high, then that means, it probably means that God and I might just need to figure something out. We need to tweak something, just like the cardiologist. Isn't that a brilliant illustration? Isn't it? I mean, I just thought it was so just, I just amazed myself at how smart I am. But it turns out in the first century in Judea, they didn't have that many cardiologists. And electrocardiograph machines were super rare. As I understand it, in Bethlehem, they didn't have even one. And so Paul and Jesus used a different illustration. They used an illustration that farmers and fishermen and shepherds 2,000 years ago would understand. How many of you love my illustration? So much. God, just go and keep your hands up. That you don't even need to hear what Paul had to say. You don't even care what Jesus said. Larry, you're so brilliant. That's good enough for us. Zero. Well, that's okay. That's fair. How many of you would like to just, I mean, in addition to that brilliance, you would also like to see what Jesus had to say about it? Okay. So the way that Paul and Jesus illustrated this idea is not with cardiology, but with fruit. So this passage at Raw Bread, that list A is a partial list of what happens if you follow your sinful nature, if you plant that in you, right? And it takes root. And here's what grows in you, and here's what grows out of you. The B list is a list of the fruit of the Spirit. It's what grows in you and grows out of you when the Holy Spirit is firmly planted in the soil of your soul. So these lists are really ways to see what kind of fruit is growing out of us and to use that to determine what's happening inside of us. You hear that? It's a way to look at the fruit that's growing out of us to determine what's going on inside of us, to ask, are the seeds of our salvation blossoming and making us more like Jesus? And we can tell just by looking at the fruit, because the fruit doesn't lie. And I'll prove that to you with a riddle. You guys up for a riddle? Okay, so this is a hard one, so get ready. If you are in Orange County and you're wearing a Banana Republic shirt, and you take a picture with your Apple phone of a tree that has peaches growing on it, what kind of tree is it? Wait, think your answer through. Give him a couple of seconds. Think. That's it. What do you think? What kind of tree is it? Well, you guys are super. That's a pretty easy question, right? That's a question from Celebrity Jeopardy, right? They dumb it down for the celebrities, right? So, but this list is like, it's obvious, right? It's obvious. If that's the fruit that's growing out, that's the kind of tree that's inside. That's what's going on the inside. So in Galatians 5:17, Paul talks about this war this struggle that's going on inside all of us, where our sinful nature has its desires, and then the Holy Spirit is trying to give us better, good desires, and those opposing forces are just at war all the time. So the fruit works like a checkup. So it's like if what's growing out of you is love and joy, and if that's the fruit, right? Peace and faithfulness and self-control and not anger and hate and division and drunkenness, then that's good fruit on the outside. And that's an indication that what's going on inside of you must be good. The Holy Spirit is winning that war with your sinful nature. So in that case, if that's what's going on, when you inspect that fruit and that's what you see, it's, man, high five, you know, praise God. If what you see growing in your life is sexual immorality and anger and drunkenness, and if you aren't seeing growth of love and joy and peace and faithfulness and self-control, if that sinful fruit is growing out of you and the Christ-like fruit is not, then something's wrong on the inside. And again, God's not mad at you. You're not out of the family. He's not sentencing you to death. It just means that he and you have some stuff, again, to tweak. So the fruit isn't a prerequisite to get in. It's more like a metric of how it's going once you're in. It's like a fruit inspection. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, the fruit of that is all this stuff, love and joy and peace, that grows in you and it grows out of you and it goes into your life and your relationships and your world. And that's what I want for me. And that's what I want for my family. And that's what I want for my friends. And that's what I want for this church. And that's what God wants for his kids. We want the same thing. He wants us to have a life that is so full of and so led by the Holy Spirit on the inside that on the outside it's completely void of hate or anger or pride or jealousy or division. He wants us to be so full of his Spirit on the inside that on the outside our lives are just impossibly full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all those good fruits. And if that's what's going on in your life right now, and that is just awesome, and you should be spending a lot of your time high-fiving the Holy Spirit. You should be spending a lot of your time in worship just thanking him for the work that he's doing in you. But here's the hard part, right? What if that's not what the fruit inspection reveals? What if what's growing in you is sexual immorality or anger or division or hate? What if you look at the fruit and you don't see any love or joy or peace or patience? Then what do we do? Like, how do we tweak it, right? If my cholesterol is wrong, then me and my doctor sit down and make a plan. How are we gonna tweak this thing? And so we have treatment options, and it's the same for us. If we see that the bad fruit is what's coming out, it concerns us about what's going on inside. If we see good fruit is coming out, then it makes us happy for what's going on inside. But if we're concerned about what's going on inside, what do we do? How do we tweak this thing? What do we do when we get stuck in list A? Or what do we do if we just want more love in our life, joy in our life, peace and patience and kindness in our life? There's a couple of options. A lot of us go with option one, which is we start striving. We just determine that we're going to try harder. We're going to be better. We're going to do gooder. We're going to, you know, push yourself, and, you know, come on, you're an American for crying out loud, you know, you're a Texan, you're a Christian, you know, you need to, my dad always said, you need to bow up, right? You need to just try harder. You need to stop the bad stuff on list A, and you need to pump out some more good fruit from list B. So just try harder. And I will say this, in fairness to us, the reason that's natural to us, the reason that's intuitive for us, is because that's worked for us our whole lives. Right? Honestly, in this world, trying harder and going faster and doing more and pushing yourself harder works. In school and in sports and in work and in the military, if we want in with the boss, we please the boss by working and striving and sweating and producing, so it seems natural that the way to please God is to, you know, try harder and accomplish more. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to bow up, and I'm going to get rid of anger and drunkenness, and just by sheer willpower and determination, I am going to grind out some love, you know, and joy, no matter how miserable it makes me. I'm going to have peace and self-control, and then that fruit will get me in with God, right? And then that fruit will like impress God. And when I feel that way in my own heart, and when I see that in other people, it reminds me of a friend of mine, Matilda. I got a picture of Matilda. There she is. So that's two dogs that Mark and I used to have. On the left is the big boy, that's Gunner. And then the little one on the right is Matilda. That's about 300 pounds of dog right there. Matilda one day killed a possum in our backyard. And they say a dog can't kill a possum, and that's not true. So she killed this possum, which is fine, except that it was a mama possum. And so now we've got all these tiny little dead baby possums in our backyard. And so every time I would go back there, Matilda would come up with a dead baby possum and like throw it on the ground in front of me and sit there with her tail just zoom, 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 zoom. And she's like, I'm a good girl, right? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I did good, huh? I did good. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. I'm in there. You love me now, right? You love me. A dead possum. I mean, come on. It's a dead baby possum. Look what I did. But the problem is, I didn't want a dead baby possum, right? I didn't have any need in my life for a dead baby possum. So, you know, she doesn't know. So I would, you know, pat her on the head. Yeah, you're a good girl, and I do love you, but this isn't really how this relationship works. Yeah, and I think sometimes we get so stuck in this like performance-based religion. I'm going to do so few bad things. I'm going to do so many good things, and God is going to be so impressed with me that we start acting like Matilda. You know, hey, God, check it out. I got drunk less this week, right? I got angry less this week. Check out my kindness. Look at my self-control. How do you like me now? Right? You love me now, right? I'm a good boy now, right? Because look what I did. But the problem is that God doesn't really need our love and our joy and our peace and our self-control. The Bible tells us that our best righteousness to him is like filthy rags. So, you know, he pats us on the head and he goes, yeah, I love you. You're a good boy. But this isn't how this relationship works. And again, I know how it happens because that work ethic, that pushing yourself has served us so well in this world. But in God's kingdom, everything is upside down, right? Everything is strange. Everything is counterintuitive. And that list B isn't like called the prerequisites of the Spirit, right? It's not called the minimum height requirements of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's what naturally grows out of us when we're filled and immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 tells us the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, inside you. So his Spirit is like, I don't know, like a seed that is somehow planted together with your spirit in you. And then that seed, as that spirit grows, it kind of chokes out the weeds of anger and pride and drunkenness and division and jealousy. And what grows from this seed is all of this fruit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. So as that process is going on, you pushing and you stressing and striving doesn't really help. It doesn't really affect it. So if we want more of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, I think most of us would agree, I could use some more love. I could use a little more joy. I could use a little more peace and patience and kindness in my life. And if we want more of that, maybe a better option than striving is what Jesus called remaining. So in John 15:4, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. and you can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. He says, yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. See, here's his illustration, right? Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So I love a visual illustration. How many are visual learners? It's your day to day. I actually have here a grapevine brought over from first century Israel. What are you laughing at? This is actually the vine that Jesus was pointing at when he was making this little talk. And so look what a great illustration this is. So the big thing, this is the vine. This is the vine, right? This is the vine. And these are all of the branches. And so here's the key. If these branches want to produce grapes, what they don't need to do is bear down. Right, what they don't need to do is bow up, and they're just going to grind and strive and try and just, and then out comes like a grape. Right, that's not what happens. If this branch wants to produce fruit, the best thing that it can do is stay connected to the creative, life-giving vine. Right, the creative life and power of the vine flows out through the branches and produces the fruit through the branches. The branches aren't really producing the fruit. You see that? And Jesus is saying, he's the vine. He's the vine. And we're the branches. And if we want to produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, the answer is not us bowing up. The answer is not us bearing down and gritting our teeth and squeezing out some love, you know. I am going to do this thing. The best thing we can do is stay connected to the life-giving vine, is to stay connected to Jesus and the creative life and power of his spirit flows from him and like through us, and he produces the fruit through us. You see that? It's a great illustration, right? So imagine if a branch, Jesus said, if a branch is not connected, see if I can do this. If a branch is not connected to the vine, will this branch ever produce a grape? What if it tries super hard? What if it runs really fast? What if it strives all the time and really bears down? Is this going to ever produce a grape? What if this is us? If we're separated from Jesus, if we're apart from the vine, are we ever going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness? Are we ever going to produce any of that stuff on our own? Jesus said, if we want to produce more good fruit, if we want more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, it's not about striving. It's about remaining in him. It's about staying connected to him so that his spirit can flow into us and through us. So this word in Greek that we've translated to remain in me is the Greek word meno. I hear you say meno. So maybe your Bible version says, instead of remain in me, maybe it says abide in me, or stay in me, or live in me, or make your home in me. And those are all trying to capture the idea of this word. Abide is good. Abide is the same root word as abode, right? Abide, abode. So your home is your abode. Why? Because you abide there, right? That's your home is where you live. Your home is where your life is. The expression is home is where the heart is, right? Even if you leave for a while, you love to come back because there's no place like home, right? I go out of town. I never sleep good in other hotels. I get my best rest when I come back home. And Jesus is saying, we need to live. We need to abide. We need to remain in him. We need to find our lives in him. We need to constantly come back to him because we need this life-giving spirit flowing into us and through us to produce this fruit. So Jesus is saying, look, we both want the same thing, right? We want your heart to be right. We want you to have an amazing, abundant, eternal, purposeful, supernaturally fruitful life. But you can't get there on your own. You're going to need my spirit, right? My creative force, my life flowing through you. So good fruit is not about striving to impress Jesus. It's about abiding and living and remaining in Jesus. If that's what you want, if you want more love and more joy and more peace, that's not accomplished by you working harder or being better or doing gooder or running faster or accomplishing more. It's accomplished by living in Christ. It's accomplished by the Holy Spirit of Jesus living in you and him pushing his creative, life-giving spirit into you and through you to produce this incredible Christ-like life of love and joy and peace and all the fruit. And it feels like we should earn it, and it seems like we should work for it, and it seems natural that we should strive for it and push for it. But Jesus says this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all that striving is actually kind of getting in the way. And actually, the truth is, he doesn't need your goodness and righteousness and self-control. In fact, he wants to give you his. He wants to produce supernatural love and joy and peace and kindness in you and through you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So practically then, how do we do this? What does it look like? Like, what if I say, yeah, I want to get rid of that bad fruit, right? I don't want all the bad stuff in my life. What I want is more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. I want more self-control. I want more righteousness in my life. That's what I want. I know how to strive. I know how to do that. But how do I abide? What does it look like? How do I remain in Christ? And I'll tell you that it starts with just being with him in the first place, right? It starts with connecting to him the first time and accepting his offer to live in him and to have him live in you. Before we can remain in Christ, we first have to get into Christ, right? And get his spirit into us. And if you've never done that, if you've never started that relationship with him, that's the first step to an eternal life that is supercharged with love and peace and joy. And if that's you and you're ready to start that relationship, you should talk to me today after church, or our prayer team will be right here as we dismiss the service. And any one of them would just love to talk to you about how to begin this relationship with Jesus. But I think for a lot of us, we did connect, right? We have connected. And after we connect, after we are in him, I think sometimes we're not very intentional about remaining in him. I think sometimes, you know, remain seems like a really passive thing. And so I think it's easy for us to think we just don't do anything, but I think we're supposed to be intentional about abiding. I think we're supposed to be intentional about remaining in him. And sometimes we're just like not very present with him because we're distracted by life and work and kids, and striving. So we talked about last week, setting aside some of that stuff, laying down some of that stuff. And I think sometimes, even though he is omnipresent, and we all know that he's everywhere, and he's with us all the time, sometimes we're just too busy, just too distracted to be aware that he's right here with us. And I think sometimes, as we're trying so hard to be religious and as we're trying so hard to be good, it's just one more thing that's making us that much busier, that's making us that much more distracted from just like sensing him and interacting with him. So, I mean, let me just ask you this. Do you ever just, and this is just between us, okay? Do you ever just get tired of trying so hard to be a good Christian? I do. Do you ever just get like frustrated? You know, I'm trying to be righteous. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to have self-control. And it seems like it's just not happening, you know. And then it's the loop, right? I try really hard. I'm going to have more self-control. I'm going to have more kindness or love or whatever it is, more peace. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I try really hard and I strive really hard and I grip my teeth and then I fail. And then I feel ashamed and then I feel guilty and then I recommit. Only this time I mean it, right? And it's the same loop just playing out for our whole lives. Jesus said, if you're tired of that, he said, if you're weary, if you're just worn out from all of the striving, let me tell you what he didn't say. Come to me and I'll give you some more work to do. What did he say? He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Just, I'm your home, man. Just be with me. Just rest with me. So what if instead of trying so hard to grind out some joy in your life this week, what if instead of pushing so hard and bearing down and determining that your self-will and determination is going to create some joy in your life, what if instead of that, sometime this week, you just like made time, an hour or 10 minutes to just stop? We call this a Sabbath mentality. What if you could just stop working and stop worrying and stop running and stop hustling and striving and chasing? What if you just took a break from striving and used that time to just abide and to just remain and to just be with Jesus? And just rest in Jesus. And to just be at home in him. And just welcome him to make himself at home in you. And then what if that became a habit? Just, you know, stealing time every day. Not to do anything to impress him, not to try to be more patient, not to, you know, strive to have more self-control, not straining and stressing and striving to be loving and joyful and peaceful, but just slowing down and remembering that you are in him and just taking a quiet minute to be aware of his presence in you and just being still long enough to sense his life-giving fruit-producing spirit moving through you and just remaining in him, just being with him for a minute or an hour or a day, and then just see if maybe Jesus isn't right. I mean, we've tried the striving, right? What if we just tried remaining and just see if that fruit doesn't begin to grow and just see if he doesn't make you more loving. And I'm 64 years old. I've been trying to grind out some peace for a long time. You know, I've been pushing really hard to be a better lover, or more friendly, or more patient, or more kind. I've been trying really hard for a long time. And truthfully, on my own, I didn't get any more loving than I was before. And I just feel like I just wasted all of those years. Wouldn't it be funny if Jesus was right? Wouldn't it be weird if you just started to see love and peace and patience and kindness and self-control growing in you? And wouldn't it be just awesome to see that the secret to more good fruit is not more effort? It's just being in Christ. Just being aware of his spirit in you. So, who's up for something weird? Okay, we got some new people. When I say who's up for something weird, we enthusiastically raise our hand and say, yeah! So, who's up for something weird? Yeah! See, that's right. We'll just do a beta test, right? Because we know how to strive. How many's good strivers? Yeah, you've been grinding out the joy, right? I'm going to be happy if it kills me. We've been trying really hard to do it, but like, we're just going to try couple of minutes of just abiding. And we're just going to sit. I'll pray for a minute. And then we're just going to sit quietly for a minute or two. And in that time, we're not going to think of what failures we are because we don't have enough peace in our life, or how we're going to grind out some more joy, or I'm going to be more faithful. We're just going to just be in Jesus. We're just going to remain in Christ. And we're just going to leave some time and some space and some soil for him to do what all of our striving can't do, and that is to produce good fruit in us. So I hope you'll continue to do it, but now I'm going to make you do it, okay? For just a couple of minutes. And you don't have to do this, like I say, but it might help. It helps some people if you take like a physical posture of receiving. Some people like to like hold out their hands. It just reminds their body to remind their mind to remind their body to remind their mind that I'm open to receiving this. And if that's weird for you, you don't have to do it. It might help if you close your eyes. So then that way you're not distracted by all the stuff that's going around and the baby next to you and all that. It might help you to take a couple of just deep breaths. But let's just take a minute to quietly abide and to remain in Jesus. So, Father, we just want to confess that we've tried striving, and now we see that Jesus said, remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and you'll produce all kinds of fruit. So just for a minute, God, we just ask you to help us sense that your presence is all around us because we are in Christ. And help us to just sense that your presence is in us. Your Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And God, right now, as we're just quiet for a minute, we just want to give you like permission to start digging up the ground of our souls and just planting and growing seeds of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And God, right now, all of us could use more peace in our lives. So we just want to be still and not try to earn it or not try to create it or not try to force it, but just be with you and let your Spirit work in us and through us. Father, we want to see more fruit in our lives. We all want more love and joy and peace and patience in our lives because that's what makes us more like Jesus, and that's what honors you and draws people to you and prepares us for your kingdom. That's what points people to Jesus. So as we pause this week and as we set aside our striving and struggling and working and we just choose to remain in you, I just pray that you will give us your Spirit and you will give us your fruit as we give you our time, as we give you our lives. Amen. I hope that you'll try that this week. That was like a minute, and it seems like forever when you first do it, but I'm telling you, if you just almost make your, sometimes I set a timer for myself. You know, I'm going to be still for this amount of time. I just want to tell you, God wants the same thing you want. He wants you to have a life that is full of joy and peace and love and patience. But that fruit is not a job for you. It's not about you showing off for God or getting out of hell. It's about what God wants to produce in you, what God wants to produce through you. As you abide in his Son, in him, and as his Holy Spirit abides in you. So let me leave you with this blessing. This week, may God remind you that you are in Christ. So he's all around you. And may you deeply sense his Spirit who lives in you. And may he produce through you supernatural fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Amen.